Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, the good life, full of fun, feels to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, for you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches, when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss the good life goodbye.
My name is Asia Grace. Welcome to Just the Freedom Radio Show. Today we have Michelle Cook, who is an expertise in black memorabilia, is our guest with us.
Good evening. This is Michelle Ridley Cook of La Bonne Vivante.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming on to our show this afternoon, or this evening, I should say.
Good evening to you, and good evening to everyone who is listening.
So, Ms. Cook, do you mind sharing with us a little bit about what you do?
Not at all. The name of my company is La Bonne Vivante, African-American Cultural Artifacts. We have a presence on the internet, which is called labonnevivante.com, and it is spelled labonnevivante.com, and that is French for the good life. And what I have tried to do is assemble an eclectic collection of African-American cultural artifacts to make them available for sale. We have several categories of cultural artifacts, which include predominantly photographs. However, we do deal in some ephemera and memorabilia. We do some things with vernacular and found photos. We do some things with decorative collectibles. And we're located in Springfield, Virginia. That's our internet presence in Springfield, Virginia. And we also have a showcase at West End Antiques Mall in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Now, you mentioned that the name of your store has a French origin. Why did you choose French?
Well, my name is Michelle Louise, and it is French. And I guess I kind of created a persona around that.
Oh, okay.
And also, I like the notion of the good life. I've also always liked the song by Nancy Wilson of The Good Life. And I think in presenting particularly the photos and what I have learned about African Americans from these photos is that we have not only survived in what has often been a hostile environment in America, but we have thrived. And so I wanted to show the entire gamut of the African American experience, and I decided to bring that around the theme of the good life.
Wow, that's wonderful. So when you say you want to show the gamut, so you show the good, the bad, the ugly, everything that necessarily that ties in with the African American community?
Well, I would not say that we have completely succeeded in covering the full gamut, but I would say that we're pretty close. Our collection covers all manner of African Americans. We have African Americans involved in worship, recreation, child rearing, all of the things that make up life's experiences. And again, I go back to our photos. There's lots of hints in our photos that tell us in what time frame the photos were taken, perhaps landmarks that will tell us where the photos were taken. But there's so much positive there, along with the things that we have suffered, that I wanted to emphasize the positive in this collection. But yes, you know, you do see some things that aren't positive, but it's the full experience that makes up this collection.
So can you give us a little background on the experience of gathering the pictures and other things together to make the collection what it is?
Well,
was it difficult, one of some of the different things you had to go through to do it?
Well, the collection is not complete. It's fluid and it's eclectic, and it's really what you find. You know, it's a matter of wandering from place to place when you travel, always keeping an eye peeled, and just finding things. You know, we go from flea markets to garage sales to attic sales to auctions to barn sales to estate sales. I mean, we go everywhere looking for these pictures. We are constantly...
What about eBay or, like, online sources?
Not as frequently as we would like do we find what we would want to find on eBay. But, you know, we don't leave any stone unturned, and we keep everything pulsed.
Now, do you only look for originals, or do you mind?
Always originals. We do not deal. We do not deal in reproductions.
So how did the presidency with Obama being in office, did that affect your business in any way, good or bad?
I don't think the Obama election did affect our business. I think that the current economic situation has had an effect on our business. After all, what people spend on material like this is discretionary income, and we are not in good economic times. However, we have been fortunate, as we have a very good cadre of regular customers, and so we've been able to stay afloat and keep material flowing. There is a lot of interest since Obama has been elected, but I don't believe that it's changed the levels of sales that we have. I don't think that's an impactor because there are too many other things economically that are going on for that to have had a very, very large effect.
Do the pictures appreciate, like, in value?
They absolutely do, but they're like any other asset. It's cyclical, but they do appreciate. The older they are, the more valuable they are. There are certain characteristics of the pictures that make them valuable from the outset and bound to appreciate. And these characteristics are things that one learns as you get into the collecting sphere and learn more and more about the pictures. And I would like to add that we consider our website not just an e-commerce site, but an educational site, because we have gathered material that allows the buyer to learn about what it is they're buying so that they can make an educated decision and know what they're looking at when they're buying. Because we do believe that educating our consumers is very, very important. We don't want our buyers not to understand what it is they have, what the value of it is, what the age of it is, what the process in making it was. Because these things are things that can be transferred as they wander around to garage sales and auctions. They will know what they're looking at. So it's more than a one-pronged kind of approach. It's an educational approach. The website is very, very appealing visually. And so it has quite a bit to offer.
Can you explain the appreciation of the gift, of the pictures?
Well, I'm not an appraiser, but it's just like anything else. The scarcer something is, the more scarce something is, and the older something is, the higher the value and the more quickly it appreciates. I mean, there are things out there that are worth, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, if one of us were to get, you know, an original picture of a Frederick Douglass or a Sojourner Truth or someone like that, that would be an expensive purchase, but it is certain to appreciate. Again, I go back to the characteristics of the different photographic genre. Once you learn how to visually identify the time from which these things come, you can tell if a certain type of photograph was produced for 50 years, you can tell when in that 50-year span that picture might have been produced and have some sense of its relative value and its relative goodness within that genre.
I had no idea that you could do something like that or find out about the pictures that way. Could you give us some more, you know, in detail about how to, or tips on assessing the pictures? Before, like you said, you want to make sure that your buyers or people who are interested in the pictures know what they're getting into. Can you tell us what we
should look for? Let's just take one genre, for example. This is probably something that people have seen and not known what it was. There is something that's called a real photographic postcard. The acronym is RPPC.
Mm-hmm.
And real photographic postcards were the first mass-produced photographs that people shot themselves and gave away to people, or they sent to people. They're photographs that were done on photographic paper that had postcard backs.
Mm-hmm.
They were introduced right after 1900 by Eastman Kodak, and so you'd have your little camera, and you'd take the photographs in, and you'd have them developed, and on the back there would be this postcard. Well, all of these postcards have manufacturer's marks on them. They may say AGFA, they may say AZO, they may say CYKO. There were a whole lot of different manufacturers. And by learning how to read the stamp boxes on the back of these real photographic postcards, you can pinpoint the date of when the postcard was actually manufactured, because that stamp box gives you the date if you know where to look as a reference and find the stamp box that looks like that. And there's a huge reference source out there that's called playoffs.com. So that's one way of telling the value of these things, because you can tell the earliest ones from the latest ones just by knowing where to find exemplar of these stamp boxes.
That would be a short answer. Is that also a way to find out if it's a reproduction piece or not? Because, like, to the naked eye, I wouldn't know whether or not, you know, I'm not an expert, so I wouldn't know what's real and what's fake, what's a reproduction, and what's an original. How else could a person who's just interested in getting art know what's
Well, we're getting pretty deep into some technical areas now.
Oh, okay.
Most RPPCs are old enough that they're not perfect. You know, if you're talking about something that's produced in 1900, the likelihood is it's going to have some bump corners or maybe a little bit of grime on it. But, you know, there's a feel to the paper. If the picture is grainy, you know, if it has a lot of, like, little dots in it instead of being a clean picture, that's one way to tell. I don't know that people would reproduce the stamp box on the back. I haven't had any experience with having seen that. But, you know, what I can say to you is that the simple answer is to look at the stamp box and go out to playoffs.com and compare the stamp boxes with the stamp boxes that they have out there. And that would be your start. And then, you know, look at the picture itself with a magnifying glass and see how clean the print actually is. And the grainier it is and the more dots it has in it, the more likely it is that it's a reproduction. But this discussion is a bit technical for...
Yeah, I was going to say, I thank you for the information, but we can move on to something else. Do you mind giving the listeners your information again?
Oh, no, at all, not at all. It is labonvivant.com, and labonvivant is spelled labonvivante.com. Our telephone number is 703-912-7729. We're in Springfield, Virginia, and our physical bricks and mortar showroom is down in Richmond, Virginia, at 2004 Staples Mill Road, Richmond, Virginia. It's located in the West End Antiques Mall. So if you're on your way down 95 or on your way up 95, take a break and go on in and see our display. You'll be glad you did.
Now, I know you have an event coming up this weekend. Can you give our listeners a little information about that?
I can. The event that's coming up this weekend is the 26th Annual National Black Memorabilia and Collectible Show, and that's going to take place on this Saturday, April 17th, and it will begin at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it will end at 7 o'clock at night. It's going to be held at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds, which is in Gaithersburg, Maryland. It's indoors. There's free parking. There'll be not only black memorabilia and collectibles for sale, there will also be special exhibits on topics like slavery, Jim Crow, the Black Panthers, the Tuskegee Airmen. There will be vendors that are selling black memorabilia like artifacts and documents, paintings and prints, ephemera, which are things that are not meant to last, pamphlets, programs, things that were printed and meant to be used for a small moment. There'll be some Negro League baseball players there, and usually they have some books for sale that they will autograph. Fred Williamson, the actor and American Football League star, will be there. Leon Spinks is going to be there, so it's quite a grand occasion, and it's a great family event. It's a very, very low-key, laid-back event. There are lots of things for families to go and see, and so if you can get there, it's really a good idea, and come on and bring the kids.
That sounds great. It sounds like you have a lot there for everyone, like you said, the kids and people who are interested in sports, black memorabilia, people who are interested in, like you said, Jim Crow. Sounds wonderful. How long have you been hosting events such as this, or how long has this event specifically been going on?
This is not my event. This event belongs to L. Johnson Productions, but this is the 26th year. This is a
wow.
Very, very, very well-established show. There are vendors and exhibitors coming from all over the country to participate in this show, either as exhibitors or to sell things. There's some very, very high-quality merchandise there. And it's just a fun day. There are times when I am there that I wish I didn't have to attend to my exhibit because I don't always get to see everything I would like to see.
Right. You want to get to mingle around and see what else is going on.
That's right, but I need to be there to meet my public.
Okay. Can I ask you how long you've been involved or what made you get involved with the collectibles?
Well, I was always an antiquer, and it starts with one piece, and then you go to a second piece, and a third piece, and suddenly your spouse is threatening to call the hoarding police. Most collectors end up being dealers because, our collections get upgraded as we go, and so we have to replace, we use our old things to finance buying new things and things that upgrade. I was always interested in the humanities. I always liked photography. I'm a photography enthusiast. I always liked antiques. I always liked history. I always liked to write. And so this was kind of a natural progression for me. It was just a fusion of interest and talents. So when my spouse threatened to call the hoarding police, was around.
Seriously did.
Yeah, he says, you're really becoming a hoarder. And I said,
no.
But this is my. I said to him, but this is my stuff. He says, well, it's a hoard. Do something. So I said, okay, well, I'll start to sell some. So I began selling a little bit on eBay, and the passion became stronger and stronger and stronger. And before I knew it, I was having a web page built,
wow.
And I was spending more and more and more time and learning more and more and more about it. I learned something new every day through these pictures about African Americans and about our experience in this country. And so, you start out in the early 90s as a collector, and here we are in 2004 as a dealer with a web page, a very, very large and intricate web page, and a showcase in a bricks and mortar antiques mall. So here we are in 2010.
That's wonderful, and it's true. Like, you hardly ever hear or able to learn about African American history or just things that you wouldn't normally hear, like learn in a book or whatever. But it's so wonderful that we have pictures and other forms of memorabilia to look back on and maybe learn something new. Like you said, you learn something from each piece. And I just think that's wonderful. And I hope that our listeners go out and learn something new as well.
These pictures really do depict the soul of black folk.
Really?
When you look in these pictures, you see somebody that you knew. You see a great aunt. You see a grandmother. You see, you know, a cousin. You see all of the people on whose shoulders we stand. And you see them standing there proudly, looking into the camera proudly. And you look back and you think, you put them back into the context of Jim Crow and the hardships that they experienced. And you wonder, how did they stand there so proud and tall? And these things are just not circulated to the extent that we see them as much as we should. And that is part of my fascination with them. And it's been part of my goal relative to building this webpage and making it both an e-commerce and an educational site.
Do you know, or can you give us a little bit of information about your first memorable piece?
My first memorabilia piece? Actually, my first memorabilia piece turned into a bunch that we bought all at once. It was like 8 or 9. One was an old postcard with an African-American female with braids sticking straight up, and it said, "Oh boy, I sure is lonely." And the art was really great on it. And then in that collection was also an old Life magazine with the feature on Martin Luther King's funeral. And there were a couple of other RPPCs in there, and I don't remember what the rest of it was, but I know we went into an antique store, saw this stuff, bought it, and that was the end of me. I was absolutely hooked.
That's wonderful. Do you know, like, do you have a specific antique? When you go antiquing, is there, like, a specific thing that you look for, or you just pick out whatever jumps out at you? Or what is the basis on the things you pick?
Well, you know, my favorite category is photographs. And again, you know, my focus is 1870 to 1940. I will go beyond 1940 if an image is particularly compelling, but that's a pretty good stretch because 1870 is right post Civil War, post emancipation, and 1940 is the 1940s is the World War II time frame. And so that's really where I focus, but again, I can be distracted if something is pretty compelling, but I just absolutely love the photographs. The other stuff gives the ephemera, the paper, the decorative collectibles, adds some depth and dimension to the collection. But my first love really is the photographs, so that's what I tend to lean toward when we go out antiquing. And it's usually just wandering through places and something you see something and it grabs you. You can't really go out shopping with a shopping cart for this stuff.
What about military photos? Are they valuable?
They can be. In fact, I have in stock right now a World War I military officer, 8x10, and he is an African-American officer in World War I. That's very, very rare because the American troops were segregated right up into the 50s.
That's still amazing.
That's pretty amazing. And, you know, I have quite a bit of military. Quite a few military pictures. I have some. I have several World War One RPPCs, and we have stuff through Korea into World War Two, and we have predominantly Army.
Is there a specific piece or genre that's in demand now that people are that you notice people are looking for more so than others?
Well, you know, different collectors have different emphases. What I see evolving as we go is a genre that's called the vernacular found photo. And what a vernacular photo is a photo that is taken in a casual setting by somebody who probably isn't a photographer, and that person who took the picture is unknown, and it's likely that the people that are in the picture are unknown. So they're snapshots, more or less, and they catch people more or less in everyday situations or casual situations. And a found photo is found photos are similar. They can be taken by any kind of photographer, but it's a broader genre because it can be taken. It's more than just a casual photographer. But vernaculars are coming on very strong right now, And they can be fun because, you know, you see the kids with the dogs, the kids with in the swimming pool, you know, guys playing poker without any adult supervision because their wives aren't around, that kind of thing. So the vernaculars are coming strong, and we have lots of those on our site, too.
Is there any other forms of memorabilia that you tend to showcase, or do you specifically only do pictures?
We do. I would tell you all that we do. I'm happy to tell you all that we do.
Okay.
We do the photographs, and there are several genres of photographs that we do, which I'm not just going to repeat here. We do ephemera and memorabilia, and there's an important distinction that I want to make between ephemera and memorabilia. There may be other schools of thought on this, but this is the school of thought that I belong to. Ephemera are items that come from the culture and are created by the culture that we're studying. So in other words, if a piece of ephemera would be a program from a black church service or a program from an African-American fraternity or sorority event. Memorabilia, on the other hand, are items that are created from the outside in. In other words, people outside the culture are creating memorabilia, and frequently they are very, very unflattering depictions of African Americans. So I think most of us probably know what I'm talking about when I talk about memorabilia. You're talking about the kind of Sambo images and the stereotypical images that you've seen in statues and ashtrays and all that kind of thing. So ephemera, again, from the inside out, memorabilia from the outside in. So we do carry a lot of that. We carry some sheet music with some of these stereotypical images on them. We carry vintage books and periodicals. Also, we have some decorative collectibles, not a lot of those, but some decorative collectibles. And we do photo albums and scrapbooks as well. And there's a lot to be learned from African American scrapbooks just to see, you know, what people were interested enough to cut out and save and arrange in these scrapbooks. And some of them are really quite beautiful, and we'll have a couple of them along with us over the weekend at the event.
Can we talk a little bit about the pictures that you posted on the GIST blog?
Of course.
I'm looking here at the one of the woman in three different poses, one at the piano, I believe one at on the phone, and maybe one at she's looking down at something.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's so beautiful. I'm looking at all of them, but I think that one is just so beautiful.
That is an old picture. That's either some kind of an arcade picture. It's done by some kind of photographer, probably some kind of casual photographer. Those pictures are relatively rare. I don't own that picture anymore. That's been sold to a group that shall remain nameless. But you don't find a lot of those images. I had once had one of a little sailor, a little boy dressed up in a sailor outfit. But it's either a booth photo or an arcade photo kind of thing. And they are quite rare, and they are quite interesting, and the images can be quite lovely.
They are, and I also see this one of the baby in the tub or the little pot. These pictures are so you know, beautiful, and it's like usually when African-Americans or people in general look for pictures of African-Americans from, you know, the 1800s or the early 1900s, it's usually of them being, you know, hot, sweaty, angry, distressed, working, you know, downtrodden. But here, these pictures that you posted on the website, they have a little young African-American boy and a white boy standing next to one another, a black family taking a family photo, you know, a young man in a tuxedo. I just think it's a beautiful spin on what we normally would see.
Well, you know, there's a lot of that material out there, but the majority culture has decided that that's not the picture of us that they're going to project. And so it's up to little people like me to try to present a web page that shows a balanced view. And that's what I'm trying to do, is show a balanced view and just let people who are interested see that there's more to it than being downtrodden and sweaty and dirty and angry.
Right. And so many people don't realize that. I think that's another reason why African Americans today have maybe kind of a negative, you know, people always are assuming that, you know, at least the women are always angry or the men are super aggressive. you can tell by looking at certain pictures that, yeah, that's how it is. But because we don't see these pictures of, you know, an affluent of African-American family, black and white family photo from, you know, the early 1800s and 1900s, you don't realize that that's only one side.
If I accomplish no other objective with this page, I hope that I accomplish the objective of letting people see that the African-American community is not negatively monolithic, that we have many, many facets, just like every other group in this country and around the world. And so it's very, very, you know, we have babies, we have children, we have, you know, we have weddings, we graduate, we do everything that everybody else does. It's simply that all of the media, or much of the media, decides that what the image that they're going to project on our behalf is a negative one. So I'm just trying to put a little balance here.
Now, do you mind just giving our listeners or anybody new that's listening, or our callers, your contact information just one more time?
Not at all. It's labonvivant.com, and it is labonvivante.com. The telephone number is 703-912-7729. You can also find us on Facebook. You can find our photographic photo musical retrospectives. You can find exemplar of them on our webpage, and you can also find libraries of them both on Blip TV and on, what's the other one, YouTube. So, you know, we try to spread our presence around, and even if you search La Bonne Vivante, we should pop up. If you search African-American photos or African-American antique photos in Google, we should pop up. So we're really not very hard to find. And, you know, if you want to learn a little bit and have some exposure to some new things, this is a great place to come.
Do you have a Twitter as well?
I beg your pardon?
Is there a Twitter account as well for your...
No Twitter. No Twitter. We haven't grown into Twitter yet.
Oh, yeah, neither have I.
I think that's on our list of things to do.
Mine, believe it or not, although, you know, the age I am, I haven't gotten into Twitter yet, so that's fine. We'll definitely, our callers will be more than happy to find out more through Facebook and other various mediums you just mentioned. So thank you again for that. Well, if anybody does have anything to say at any point, you can chime in with any questions about the conversation or anything further about the Black Memorabilia or what Ms. Cook is doing with her store. If not, we can continue with our discussion.
Okay.
I'm also looking at the picture of this young lady in, it looks like an Indian outfit, or I don't know what that dress would be called. It's on the GIST website as well. And she kind of looks like Erykah Badu. Do you have anything behind that? Is she an African-American or is she Indian?
Let me see
or?
If I can see her. I see the baby. I see the man on the horse. Well, while I'm waiting for that to come up, would it be all right if I told you about another set of services that we have?
Yes, you can share with that, whatever you'd like.
Okay, we do what we call photo musical retrospectives. And what that is personal family pictures and videos set to music, either for purposes of passing down to the later generations, or for milestone events, special birthdays, funerals, weddings. The family picks the music. The family picks the pictures. We may come in and shoot the video, and then we compile that into a video show that can run around 7 minutes. If it's simply pictures, it's about 50 pictures for 7 minutes, 7 minutes of music. We spend a lot of time matching lyrics to pictures so that we have something that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of nuance in those pictures because you can learn so much from just looking at people in pictures. So I would urge everyone to go out and have a look in our photo musical retrospective product section where you can see a couple of exemplar. And also, periodically, I'm not going to say every week, we do a little commercial that is picture set to music, and we send it out to our mailing list so they can see what's new on the site. And you'll find those also on YouTube in our library. You'll find them on Blip TV in our library. And every time a new one is published, you will find a link to it on the top of our homepage at lebonvivant.com. I want to get back to where you were with this picture. Could you describe the picture to me again? Oh, is it the lady with the tambourine?
Yes. She's
African-American, but, you know, you have to remember that, you know, in various areas of country, people mixed with Indians, and, I mean, you know, the way we look is the way we look because we're so diverse in terms of our ancestry. So, you know, we can't really limit being African-American simply to the way people look. It's really a psychological state as well. When I look at this lady, I see an African-American lady. Somebody else might see something else. So, you know, it's really an opinion, and it's all based on how you want to perceive it. People see what they want to see, but that's what these pictures are about. They allow you to see what you want to see, but they give you some choices in terms of what you're looking at and decide what you want to see in that.
That is true. I mean, they say that, you know, each person can interpret the picture to their own, how they would interpret it. Nobody else can put a label on what the picture actually is. Now, can you explain the picture of the African-American boy and the white boy standing next to each other with chef hats?
I can tell you what I think is going on.
Sure.
Because that's a very old picture, and I'm not quite so old that I was there. Almost, but not quite. I just think that those were two guys working in a kitchen somewhere, you know, as busboys or in some capacity in the kitchen, and somebody shot their picture standing outside the building. That's what we call a vernacular picture. We don't know who the subjects are. We don't know who the shooter was. We don't know where they were, but that's a vernacular picture. That's what we were just talking about. And when you were asking me where I was seeing a rise in demand, well, that would be an example of the vernacular pictures I was talking about earlier.
Is that common? Like, vernacular pictures, are they more common than maybe position, like you said, a specific where you know who the person is?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, again, as I told you, they're pretty much snapshots.
Right.
And so, you know, you or I or your dad or my mom may have taken some pictures back in the 40s, and you find them in a box, and that's a vernacular picture, a family picture of a picnic, a family picture of an outing shot, you know, with a Brownie camera or an Instamatic camera. That's a vernacular picture.
Well, what about when I said common, I meant, and I should have clarified, African-American and a white person together doing something together, not necessarily one, you know, inferior to the other. Is that also common in these photos or in the photos you've encountered thus far?
It depends on where they come from. I've seen photos with blacks and whites together. I actually have a set of photos of an interracial wedding that is back in the 40s or the 50s. Which has to be a rarity. I've never seen anything like that before. You do see it. It's not something that I'm really, really focused on because, again, I'm really focused on the African-American experience, interacting with African-Americans largely, even though there are a couple of pictures on here that do include non-African-Americans. And they're there because I found those images particularly compelling. But because of my focus, I don't see a lot of these interracial vernacular images, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist. It just means that I'm not focused on them.
True. So they must be really rare and valuable then to have something
be.
Like that.
They can be. You know, I'm not going to comment on that. Again, you know, I'm not an appraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be really, you know, out of my depth trying to make an appraisal of a picture like that. All I can tell you is that I have not seen a lot of them.
Yeah, they probably are hard to come by, like I said, or like it's known, African-Americans and, well, we don't necessarily see a lot of African-Americans and white from that time period together doing something progressive or recreational, you know.
Well, that looks like an occupational photo to me. It looks like those two were working.
Oh, well, yeah, probably. But nonetheless, you wouldn't expect, I wouldn't expect to see something like that where they would be together doing that. Like, I would expect the white boy to maybe be at the table waiting for the food while the African-American cooks it, because that's what I've always seen in the media. Like you said, the media tends not to focus on the positive of African-American history, the positive side of African-American history.
Well, then it sounds like I've had another step toward my goal, because you may have learned something tonight.
I did, and I think that what you're doing is wonderful and that you should continue. Is there, do you have any short goals, short-term goals or long-term goals that you hope to accomplish in with your work?
I do. I'd like to get out and do more kind of seminars and speaking engagements, and I'm always looking to expand the collection and have more contact with my customers. You know, we're just trying to make this little business grow and, you know, raise consciousness and make more people aware that we're out here working very hard toward these modest goals that we have set. And so, you know, it's a real privilege and an opportunity for us to be on your show this evening.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. We only have a little bit of time left. Can you just give us a little bit more information about your event this weekend?
Well, once again, it's at Montgomery County Fairgrounds, which is in Gaithersburg, Maryland. It's the National Black Memorabilia and Collectible Show. It's Saturday, April 17th, which is this coming Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Lots of special exhibits, lots of vendors, good family event. Please come. Please bring your kids. And please stop by and see Le Bon Vivant while you're there. We have an extensive amount of photographs that we're going to be bringing with us that will be displayed and that are properly filed and ready for you to come and look at and purchase. And we will look forward to seeing you there.
And for the last time this evening, could you just give us your full name and your contact information?
I am Michelle Louise Ridley Cook. The name of my company is Le Bon Vivant. Our webpage is lebonvivant.com, which is spelled LABONNEVIVANTE.com. If you have problems with the French spelling, you can give me a call at 703-912-7729.
Well, thank you so much again, Ms. Cook, for coming on to our show. You did an excellent job of explaining the technical areas of memorabilia and giving us a little more historical information about what we're looking at and what we can look for in order to know what we're getting or what we're learning from the picture. So I just thank you, and we'll speak to you on Sunday.
We'll look for Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday, April 17th. Thanks for having me on. Good night, everyone.
Thank you again. This is Asia Grace, and this has been your Thursday evening edition of the Get This to Freedom Radio Show. Tune in again later in the week for the rest of our show, and I'll see you soon. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Bye-bye.
Oh, the good life. Let you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, for you can't take the chance. So be don't try to fake romance. It's the good life. like the heartache. When you learn, you must face them all. Please remember, I still want you.